Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Ordering your club gear is effortless with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the Northwest leading supplier for GAA clubs at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, there'll be more reaction to Tyrone's win in last night's Ulster Under-20 final where they defeated Donegal. We'll be hearing from manager Paul Devlin, man of the match Rory McCullough, and also the captain Joey Clark. On the horse race in front, the latest up-and-coming jockey is young Patrick McGerrigan from Ballyar. We'll be speaking with him before he heads back to Kildare to team up with Johnny Murta once again in Kildare. Plus, John Cronin will reflect on his term, which came to an end recently as president of Athletics Ireland. But as always in The Score on a Thursday night, we're going to start with football and League of Ireland action this weekend. Finn Harps and Derry City are both playing at home. Harps have a home tie against a Treaty United tomorrow night. And it's a big weekend for Derry as they look to bounce back from defeat the last time out against Waterford. They've got two home games coming up on Friday and on Monday against two of the title contenders. Shelburne will be the opposition tomorrow, and Stephen Kenny is bringing his St. Pat's boys to the Brandywell on Monday night. To look ahead to those games and more, I'm delighted to say I'm joined by former Finn Harps manager and captain Anthony Gorman. As always, Anthony, delighted that you can join us on The Score programme.
Thanks, Lachlan. Nice to be here as always. Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to catch up again, Anthony. It's been a month or so since me and you had a conversation in relation to what's going on in the League of Ireland, and we might start maybe with the Premier Division because there's 10 teams in it, and between 1st and 7th, they're separated by just 3 points. The leaders are Drogheda and Galway on 20, then you have Pat Shamrock Rovers and Shells all on 19, Bowes of 18 and Derry City is 17. Shelburne, who are one off the top, have only won one of their last 5. Derry, who are 3 off the top, have lost 5 of their 12 games. And the side that has won more matches than anybody this year is Bohemians, and they sit 2 points off the top after 6 victories, but they've lost 6 games. How crazy a season is it in the Premier Division this year, Anthony?
I think what we're seeing so far, it's a wee bit similar to last year where I remember talking to you around June or July time, and at that stage, no team had won double-figure games. Like I think Shells and Derry both were stuck on about 9 wins at that stage, which was crazy for the amount of games that they'd played. But it shows you how competitive and how even and how tight the league is. Obviously, the likes of Shamrock Rovers are probably the exception in terms of, you know, the quality of the and the depth of their squad, where you always expect them, that they're the one team, maybe Pats as well, are teams that could probably put together a run of 3 or 4 victories in a row. And as you look at the league table, and you're quite right in saying, you know, from 1st place to 7th, there's only a 3-point difference. So can you imagine what 1 in 3 or 4 games would do in a row in terms of a league position. I think that's how Shelburne ended up winning the league last year, Ashin. That's such a strong start. I think maybe 6 of their 1st 7 games were victories, and that stood them in good stead the whole way through the season. When, you know, getting to the latter end of the season last year, when Shells and Derry couldn't buy a one, they still had the points in the bank, and it saw them over the line. But it's so tight, and it's very difficult to call games. When you look at the top of the league and you've Drogheda and Galway, and no disrespect to them, you know, budget-wise and size of the club, you know, they shouldn't really be competing with Pats, Rovers, Shells, Bows and Derry. But it's a credit to them and the management team that they're doing so well.
Well, listen, it's a double weekend of fixtures with games to come on Friday and Monday. Derry City have 2 home matches. They'll be looking for maximum points out of these, but listen, the opposition will not be in any way easy. Shelburne on Friday, St. Pat's on Monday. Is 6 points achievable out of the 2 games for Tiernan Lynch's side, Anthony?
I think if you look at Derry on paper, you think, yeah, absolutely. But you look at Derry and the performance that they put in, and they've been so inconsistent. And it's not like we look at, say, like we're talking about Shelburne, who out of the 12 games have won 4. They've drawn 7. They've only lost 1. But Shelburne have actually played well. You know, whereas Derry, you can look at games and say, yeah, they played well, or, you know, they haven't played well. Like, I watched them play, watched them play Sligo last Tuesday night, and they were outstanding. That was probably their best performance of the season. And you think it's starting to click for them. And then they go to Waterford on the Friday, and they put in that level of performance, which was nowhere near good enough or acceptable. I think with Derry at the minute, you just can't make that call. I think especially 2 home games against Shells and Pats, who are exceptional sides and exceptionally well organised. And I said that for a long time now, Damien Duff, he's the one manager that you can look at the league and say he is getting the maximum from his players. And their performances have shown that. Derry, you think, should have goals in their team with the amount of attacking talent that they have. You know, and Michael Duffy has been really good this season so far. Gavin White's starting to come into his own a wee bit. And Shelburne, you know, Shelburne have scored a lot of goals this year as well. You know, they've scored 16 goals, one goal more than Derry. So it's very difficult to call, Dushan, and certainly on paper and ability-wise, you think, yeah, Derry definitely have the potential to get 6 points over the weekend, but you just don't know with what Derry City and what players are going to turn up on the night.
Yeah. The fixtures on Friday in that Premier Division, Derry City against Shelburne, and Derry have Pats to come on Monday. Pats play Galway on Friday and then go to Derry. Sligo Rovers are hosting Drogheda United and then have Shamrock Rovers, which is 2 tough games. Cork City host Shamrock Rovers and then they go to Drogheda United on Monday. And Bohemians are playing Waterford and then they take on Galway on Monday. Some very interesting ties, particularly with sides in that top 7 all meeting. But for some reason, I'm looking at it, and it seems to be that it could be teed up that come Tuesday morning, with games against Sligo Rovers and Cork to come over the weekend for Shamrock Rovers, the Hoops could be top of the table come Tuesday, Anthony.
They could be, because you look at the fixtures, like you mentioned, Pats and Galway, and you know, Galway have been so hard to play against and so hard to beat, and the discipline and the organisation, the squad, like they've been really good. So you can see a draw there. Derry Shells could be a draw. You know, Sligo, who they're bottom of the league, but they're, you know, their performance have been much better than what the results have shown. Like they've scored a lot of goals. Like they're the second top scorers in the league, and they're bottom of it now. They're obviously conceding too many goals, and it's a bad mix when you're conceding goals. But you know, they're getting it right at the attacking end of the pitch. But you just think with Rovers and the games that they have coming up, that you're 100% right. Come Tuesday morning, they could be sitting top of the league. But you know, so too could Derry. You know, it's just one of them seasons where you don't know. You know, to a quick turnaround in games, you just don't know what'll happen.
Yeah, so that's how the Premier Division games are going to pan out over the weekend. Just a note on Sligo Rovers. Listen, they've 2 tough games. They're hosting Drogheda on Friday night and they're away to Shamrock Rovers. Is there any sort of hope of them getting off the bottom of the table, Anthony, do you see over the next couple of games?
The game against Drogheda is a very winnable game for them. At home, they'll have a big home support, you know, and on the same night, you know, Cork City host Shamrock Rovers. So they could very easily or feasibly beat Drogheda, you know, just, and that's again, like Drogheda have been outstanding under Kevin Doherty and they're going from strength to strength. But the way the league is, Oisin, like we've seen Sligo play, you know, they've only won 2 games, but the games they've lost have been, they're losing by the odd goal in the majority of them. And we've seen them going to Waterford, who beat Derry City last week 2-1. Sligo went to Waterford the week before and won 4-0. So again, whether you're top of the Premier League or bottom, you just can't call the games, you know, such as the league and the quality of the teams actually in the league this season.
Let's move on to the Premier Division. UCD play Kerry. Van Harps take on Treaty United. Cove Ramblers up against Bray Wanderers. Athlone Town against the leaders Dundalk. The four games in the First Division there Friday. And then on Saturday, Longford Town against Wexford. We will have updates from that Van Harps Treaty United game with Dermot Doherty. Starts at 7:45 tomorrow evening, Friday. Listen, how have you assessed Harps over the last month or so, Anthony, since we last spoke?
I think from, you know, they got their first victory of the season and then Darren Murphy left and Kevin came in. You know, they went on a fantastic run under Kevin where they had five games unbeaten, which included two victories and three draws before, obviously before going to Cove last weekend and getting beat. But, you know, they've again, like I spoke previously about Damien Duff getting the maximum from a squad. I think it's fair to say that Finn Harps and Kevin McHugh are getting the maximum from his squad at the moment as well. You know, they're from the start of the season, they have been very competitive in the games. And like we did have concerns about them going into the league this year and the fact that they had a small budget, they were inexperienced, that it was a very much a new team. But, you know, you look at the results they've had and, you know, go back to the game against Dundalk where they equalised in the last minute. And speaking to a lot of people that watched that game and some were at it, you know, they felt that Finn Harps were the better team and deserved more than the point that they left with. But again, it's a good sign when they keep going and they get an equaliser in the last minute. So I think Finn Harps and Kevin McHugh will be very, very pleased and very happy with how things are going there at the minute.
Yeah. Treaty United are providing the opposition on Friday. The Limerick side, well, they've had the edge over Harps over the last three games, and they took that one down in Limerick 3-1 at the start of the campaign at the end of February. But Harps are playing a lot more better football now, and it's the sort of game that it's good to bounce back from after that defeat in Cove last week.
Yeah, it's a home game as well, which should be a big advantage for them because Finn Harps, they've performed well at home and they seem to react to the vocal home support, which will be good. And, you know, again, you look at Finn Harps and Treaty, there's nothing in them. And you look at the form and the points, goals for both have scored 18. Treaty slightly better defensively where they've only conceded 14 to Finn Harps 16. So it'll be a tight game, but you just think that the way Harps are playing and they will be playing with confidence. Like I'm sure that the defeat in Cove will not affect them in any way. You know, Cove are big spenders in the league and they would have been expected to win that game anyway. But, you know, I think they'll be buoyed by the fact, you know, you look at the games they've had and especially the point away to Dundalk, and there's no reason why they can't go in very confident in the game against Treaty.
And obviously, they had two away games back-to-back, but now they've got two home games back-to-back. The following Friday, Athlone Town are going to come to Ballybuffet as well, Anthony. So, listen, within a seven-day period, I asked you about Derry. I'm going to ask you the same question about Harps. Is 6 points achievable for Harps? It's been a while since they had back-to-back ones.
I think it's more realistic for Finn Harps to get back-to-back victories than Derry. You know, Derry have shown inconsistency and, you know, good form, bad form, whereas Harps are actually showing consistency in their performances. And, you know, they're more than capable of beating Treaty and then going to play Athlone as well. Like Athlone, who've spent heavily in the pre-season and in the close season, but they're very, very much underperforming for the amount of money that they've spent. So Harps very easily could pick up six points over the next two games.
Yeah, hopefully they can, and they've done that just once this season, and that was against Bray Wanderers on the 21st of March, and then they beat Athlone on the 28th of March, which was 7 days later. We'll see what develops over the next 7 days. Fingers crossed Harps can get as maximum points out of both of those matches. Anthony, as always, we appreciate you taking time out to speak to us. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks, Emily and Oisin. Thank you.
And we'll catch up again soon.
Cheers. Thank you, Oisin.
There you go. So once again, we will have updates tomorrow night from Finn Harps against Treaty United. Dermot Doherty will be on duty there. Just some of the other matches this weekend. Soccer-wise, locally, the Clubman Shirt League finals taking place on Sunday in Inishowen down at McGinn Park. Clonmany Shamrocks are up against Coghill Celtic. We'll have updates from that game, which starts at 2 with Chris Ashmore. And the Father O'Gara semi-finals are also on. Mavell Celtic against QPS and Sea Rovers take on Cairn Reserves. In the Donegal Junior League, in the last of the area finals, Letterkenny Rovers are taking on Swally Rovers, and that game kicks off on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Okay, time for a break on the score, and you can join us for more after these.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking a full range of Donegal jerseys and leisurewear at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to the Score programme. Now, let's go to Gaelic Games and to that Ulster Under-20 football final on Wednesday night in Owen Beg. Paul Devlin has now led Tyrone to 5 Ulster title wins at this age group as they defeated Donegal following extra time in the provincial decider last night. They do, of course, remain on course to defend the All-Ireland title that they also won last year. The game last night finished 1-19 to 2-14 after 80 minutes of action. Well, the Red Hands boss spoke to me after the game and says that he was full of praise for the players as they showed the desire needed to dig deep when things started to get tough. Also on this piece, as we recap on that victory for Tyrone, we'll also be hearing from man of the match, Rory McCullough, and indeed the captain, Joey Clark.
So, Paul Devlin, manager of Tyrone, what's it like to have a 5th Ulster title at this age group?
It's a great achievement, and I'm first thing myself, I have to pay credit to my family at home, because they've always been with me all the way. Two lads out in America, my wife Fiona and daughter Orla, and they've been with me all the way. So it's a good family occasion there. So I have to get that all in place. But then today, it's with the lads that have the medals in the pocket. We're only here to guide them along, and that's I'll push all the credit to them.
Listen, they put on a fantastic show. And were you worried there in the final stretch? Donegal was coming back. They trailed, but you were 7 up, and they brought it right back into a couple of points towards the end. Was it nervy? Was it for you?
Not one bit. But
you've been here before.
When you run around the field years ago after the likes of Mickey Linden and Joe Brawley and these guys a few years back, that's more nervy. But this here, I'd be the calm one on the bench or on the sideline, and I maybe have to wind a few of my coaches in at times. You know what I mean? But no, fully focused. Play a game then. Let the game lads manage the game. And I thought they managed it pretty well, and if you give Donegal credit, they got a couple of turnovers there and nipped them over the bar, and kept the game exciting to the end for everybody.
You could probably say the Kip Tyrone boys learned a lot more from that game in Balbofe than Donegal did.
Most certainly we did, because when we're all afield, full credit to Donegal. We played Donegal back in 22 and they beat us 8 points as well in a league final, and we'll come back again there the year again, and It was the same thing. So where 8 points in the league or the early stage of the league, and it was the same scenario. We'll come back, we'll beat Donegal by a point 3 years ago, sorry, up in Celtic Park. So massive games we've had with them over the years here, and I say Ulster's a minefield, everybody knows that, but we learned a lot from Donegal's play, and as well as that, we learned a lot from Donegal's play at senior level. I watched the game on Sunday there, and the way down, getting through them and all that, and we knew you could cause them problems, and to say a super defensive place there, but we did cause them problems getting in around them, and a load of credit has to go to our fellas, you know.
From Tyrone's point of view, I think it's fair to say, having a run last year where you won Ulster and won in All Ireland, you know what it takes. That played a factor here in the stretch tonight, did it?
Well, it is an
because we've still got a lot of players from last year.
Yeah, we do with the management team there. There's a lot of experience coming last year. I have a new group in from the year before, and they really added to it. But yes, we're players from last year, but people take into account with boys here this year who weren't there. You've Matthew Quinn and Colin Sheehy, Matthew from Dungannon and Colin from Cookstown, and them two lads never played county minor football at all, and the shift they've been putting in all year has been immense. So I have, and you've Noah Grimes there, fantastic first half, so he had a second half as well right through. So a lot of work from fellas there who probably didn't play much last year. So it is, you know,
that period at the start of extra time, that 4.5 minutes, you know, 7 points up, you had 3 or 4 2-pointers in it. It was fantastic kicking, so it was, by the boys, and that's probably the period that got you over the line.
But the thing is, we have the lads who are capable of doing that. Yeah. You've young Shane McDermott there, he's only out of minors last year, and Shane is a confident lad. He's from the Argyll club, and the Argyll Forge, like, they fancy a big score, and I thought Shane outstanding there tonight when he came in, kicked a massive 2-pointer, and for a lad of only turned 18 there, he was confident to kick that, so we were. So a lot of credit goes to him too, you know, for what he done there, and I say our defence, our general bench all over this year has been outstanding, and I can't credit the lads all enough, you know.
This is massive for the group, it's massive for you personally, 5 Ulster titles now. You have 2 All-Irelands. Let's talk about the next stage, Kerry in the semi-final. Well, what can Tyrone do from here?
Well, we'll let the lads get recovered from this here, and then we'll start doing a bit of work in Kerry and see what way things are going there. But say we'll not look any much further than that, but we have Kerry in the pipeline here, and we'll look forward to Pádraig, and I'm sure Kerry and Tyrone will be a difficult opposition for them. I hear Tomás talking there, but Ulster is a minefield for teams to get out and how tough it is. So you know, they know they'll be up again a superb Tyrone team that wants to play football too. Yep.
Hey, with Joey Clark, captain of Tyrone under 20s. Joey, this Tyrone 20 saga keeps going and going. It was a match that took a while to get going, but then made all the fireworks towards the end.
Yeah, look, there was a lot of drama going towards the end. They probably would have hoped to close it out a bit easier, but fair play to Donegal. Like, they kept coming back there, and they really put it to us, but we just dug in for the last few minutes and got over the line.
I covered your game in the group stages, and leaving it, I really thought, listen, Tyrone's going to learn a lot from that. You know, Donegal played a very disciplined counter-attacking game. You kind of did it, but didn't go all the way, and I thought tonight, if anything, it was going to be a bit of stalemate, and was who going to blink first? That's what the first half was.
Yeah, definitely. Look, we took a lot of learning from that game. It probably pointed out a few of our weaknesses, but we've addressed them and came back, and we put it right today, so we're glad to get that.
And tell me, the start of that extra time, you know, you came out and really went after Donegal, and I thought you seen the best of Tyrone, and then point, you had 7 points up in a game where there was never more than a couple in it. It was a blistering start to that extra time. Was it something was said pre-going out, or was it just you decided to go for the game?
We just decided to go for it. Look, with brilliant forwards, and whenever they're firing like that, like, it's hard for any team to get near, so the likes of Owen McElhoman, Rory McCullough, and even Shane McDermott really stepped up there, and that really helped us. So
yeah. And tell me, the experience of last year, obviously All-Ireland champions, did you feel that, was that something that a bit of know-how comes into a team, you think, we're never going to be beat here, we stick to the process and we'll come through, because that's what stood you so well, particularly coming through all last season?
Aye, definitely. Look, there's a lot of boys there who have experience, and it definitely helps them, but I'd say it's the boys maybe that don't have the experience that really stepped it up and pushed us on. So it definitely helps, but you need everyone, you need all 15, even all 32 boys pushing. So
yeah, and listen, of course, now one of the favourites of competition, as you always are, Kerry now coming down the tracks. Have you bothered even looking at any of that, or was that something couldn't enter your mind?
No, you don't look past Ulster, you know that by now. Serious teams, so look, we'll enjoy the night, and we'll address that tomorrow. We'll get back to the drawing board, but we beat them last year, but they beat us 3 years ago in the minor, this team, so we feel we've something maybe to prove. So it's good to be back in that stage where you want to be.
And of course, it's a midweek night, a Wednesday night. You're still allowed a few boys of college, and tomorrow you just get a day off tomorrow, I think.
Aye, well, a few boys of school tomorrow. I know I'm uni, so I'm not too bad. I'm testing Friday, so I'll be sensible enough for myself.
So Rory McCullough, what's it feel like to be an Ulster champion once again?
It gets better every time. We were here in this position last time, next time again, and I think that stood us. A good bulk of that team was still left, and thankfully we pulled through.
You had to really, really dig deep in that game, like two periods of extra time, and you had to show a bit of character there towards the end.
Yeah, massive scores from Shane McDermott and Owen McElhoneyreally stepped up next time, and even to get a few kickouts, we struggled to get their hands on the ball, but thankfully we turned it over in defence. I think Dara Donahue got his head on the line there and broke out, so that it all takes everyone.
It's 5-4 at half time. Very cagey first half, not what we're used to in the Ulster Under 20 Championship.
Yeah, definitely. Look, last week I suppose was a wee bit more open. This week Donegal is set up in a very zonal defence. Look, we got thrashed by them in the league. We knew what they were going to bring. They weren't going to change much.
Did you learn from that day?
Aye, well, it's obvious to see. You know, we brought a few different tactics in, and thankfully they worked.
Yeah, certainly worked. And then in the second half, listen, it was just as cagey as it was, but the scores started to come, and Donegal sort of pushed you all the way, so they did in that second half.
You know, I think we got off to a really bad start in the second half, didn't we? And we got a fortunate enough goal, but you take them all. But thankfully, just Joey was anticipating that and put her in.
Let's talk about extra time. Those first 4.5 minutes, it was fantastic football from Tyrone. It was amazing. There was amazing scores being kicked, and the way you took those 2 pointers, like, he's been 7 up in under 5 minutes of football. And that's probably the period that won you this game, Rory.
Yeah, it definitely did. Look, if you get your shooters on the ball, like Shea and Makers, you know, they kick 2 pointers, and it gave us a 6-point lead. So it was massive for us. And
were you worried towards the end of extra time the way Donegal was playing?
I'll not lie to you a wee bit, but I had full faith in the lads that we're going to dog it out.
You had to show a lot of character, as we said today, but listen, this is an Ulster Championship title for Tyrone. A man of the match performance by yourself. It probably couldn't have gone any better for you personally tonight, could it?
Yeah, well, look, the individual achievements are great, yes, but it's all about the team winning there at the end of the day. And I'm just delighted to be able to celebrate with these lads tonight and lift that Ulster Cup.
That's a classic GAA answer, sure it is. But listen, you've an All-Ireland series now to look forward to. Kerry in the semi-final, but you've been there before. You know what it takes on the big day, and I'm sure you're not shy away from any opposition as you look to continue to defend your All-Ireland crown.
Yeah, Kerry, we played them obviously in the All-Ireland final last year. Good outfit, yeah. Seen bits and pieces from their game against Cork already. Good outfit, yeah, but we're going full throttle at them and we're coming.
Just finally, this means a lot to everybody that's gathered here on the pitch, so does it, Beck?
Yeah, you can see the celebrations at the end there, and see even the crowd gathered after the game as well over game's well over now, and look, it means so much to the people of the county. It gives great belief, and hopefully many more to come.
That's Joey Clark speaking to Highland's Brendan Devaney, ending that piece as Tyrone took yet another Ulster Under 20 title. And again, they continue to march on into the All-Ireland Series. Locally, club-wise, Gaelic games here in Donegal this weekend, taking centre stage. It's the Comórtas Pell na Gaelt at the Donegal Finals, hosted by Ardra. And on Sunday, the two senior semi-finals will see Niamh Connell against Termon and Ardra against St Michael's, while the junior semi-finals are Niamh Connell up against Fanna Gaels and Ardra against St Noel's. The action starts there at 1 o'clock, with the last of the matches on the day taking place at 5:30. And then, of course, they have finals on Monday. What we do know already, the intermediate ladies final will be at 12 noon. Fanna Gaels play Ardra, and the senior ladies final is at 1:45, with Termon against Dunloe. The junior men's final will start at 3:30, and the senior men's final will get up and running at 5:15 on Monday. It's a big Saturday for the Donegal Minor Ladies side. They will play Monaghan in the Ulster Minor Championship Gold Final in Newton Stewart. And that game starts on Saturday at 2 o'clock as Donegal look to win a championship title. As for the Minor Men's side, they're also in action on Saturday. They're in Armagh at the Boxed Athletic Grounds. There's a 12 o'clock start for that game. Also in round two, Tyrone are taking on Cavan. There does, of course, have to be a winner on the day here. Well, in the qualifiers, Derry are in action, and they play Down on Saturday. In the GAA's Hurling All-Ireland Under-20 B Championship for the Richie McGallagher Cup, Tyrone are taking on Down on Saturday. That game's in Breffni Park, and it starts at 3:15. And there is, of course, provincial deciders taking place this weekend. Mayo are taking on Galway and Connacht at 4 o'clock on Sunday, but before that at 1:45, the Munster decider in Fitzgerald Stadium will see Kerry against Clare. Now to horse racing. As we know, Donegal have, seven jockeys that are racing at home or in the UK or indeed in Australia. And the latest young man in the apprentice ranks is Ballyhale native Patrick McGettigan, who rides under trainer Johnny Murta in Kildare. Patrick rode in the world famous Rebo Cup in Italy earlier this year, and in recent weeks had an 80-1 and a 50-1 winner in Dundalk. Well, Patrick was home for a couple of days this week, and I caught up with him before he hit the road back to Kildare earlier today.
Yeah, sure. I came back there on Monday night, and I've just kind of been keeping quiet, riding out a few horses for the local trainers, but none too major.
Too major, very good. And obviously, you're tied in with Johnny Murta, so you are, and you're away from home a lot. How did that partnership come to you, Patrick?
Yeah, Johnny's assistant trainer, and I was riding out flapping, and he kind of got in contact with the people I was riding for, and he offered me to go down to Johnny's on a 2-week trial, and I've never looked back since, never left.
Yeah, and you had a successful flapping and pony career, didn't you?
Yeah, I had the Guts of 40 winners, so I was over two seasons, so I was quite good.
Yeah. Just out of interest, when you were, now you're still a young man, so you are, but when you were a boy and you were competing in the flapping and the ponies, who was the heroes, who was the jockeys that you looked up to?
Yeah, well, like, it's kind of basic for everyone. Like, you have your likes of Dylan Brown McMonagall, Colin Keane, Shane Foley, Oshie Knorr, all the kind of top lads. You just want to be like them.
Yeah, now you find yourself mixing with them, obviously, at certain races. So I'm sure the likes of maybe Dylan and Oisin, when you meet them along the way, do they give you a bit of advice, do they? Because them two guys are well experienced at this stage.
Yeah, exactly. They've been through it all. Like, Oisin's over in England at the minute, so you wouldn't see him too much. But Dylan and Luke McAteer, they're all great help to me. And anything I do, they give me great advice.
Yeah. Have you enjoyed your time in the professional ranks since you signed up towards the, it was the start of last year, actually, wasn't it, 2024? So, and here you are now in 2025. What's the experience been like for you, Patrick?
It's been unbelievable from the start. My boss, Johnny's been very, very good to me. He's given me loads of opportunities, and so have outside trainers. But it's been unbelievable. I've had 6 winners so far out of about 80 rides. So it's going very well.
Yeah, and obviously you still have your claim, so you do. I'm sure that helped you away along the way, did it, in some of those races, some of those ones?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I have a 7-point claim, which is a big advantage to some horses that might need a bit of weight off that are too high in the handicap. So it helps that way.
Yeah. When do you actually lose your claim? When's that stage come down the line?
So you have, after you have 3 winners, you lose your 10-point, and then after you have 35, it's your 7, and then 65, you're down to 3, and then when you lose your full claim, you have to have 95 winners.
Okay. Well, listen, you're going on the right trajectory there. You've had a couple of big winners so far this year. So you have Patrick, 3 weeks ago, an 80-1 winner at Dundalk, and not so long ago, you had a 50-1 winner there as well. So Dundalk, the all weather there at Dundalk seems to be a place you like.
Yeah, exactly. I can't complain. It's been very good to me so far. I've had 3 winners up there, so been very good.
Yeah, it certainly has. What was the experience of Italy like for you earlier in the year? Because I know that you were over in Pisa and you were taking part in the Rebo Cup. You were one of several jockeys from Ireland, or from Europe, excuse me, that was competing in the race. And obviously this is huge. So it is in horse racing terms for young jockeys, and it was your second international experience, having previously raced in Great Britain. So I'm sure you enjoyed your time there. How did that fare out for you at the time, Patrick?
Yeah, it was very good to get over. I had a fantastic experience over there. I learned a lot with the different ways the other cultures ride. But just to be even nominated to go over was a big thing.
How do you absorb all this information as a young man, and when you're an apprentice on a horse and you're dealing with trainers, big trainers like Johnny Murta? How do you go about processing everything, Patrick? Because it can be really, really full on at times.
Yeah, as you say, it can be full on, but you just have to listen to the plan you're given and try to execute it as best you can. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You just have to try your best.
So what's next for you now? Obviously, I'm sure you're heading back to the UK, or you're back down the country again towards the end of this week?
Yeah, I'm back down to Kildare tomorrow evening.
Yeah.
And I have a few rides in Sligo on Sunday, so hopefully we have a bit of luck there.
Right, okay. So you've got a couple of rides in Sligo. You any tips for us, Dave? Who are you on?
The horse I won on 50-1, he's running again, so hopefully he'll have another chance.
Oh, we'll have to keep a close eye on that one. What's the big goal here for you, Patrick? Because obviously you're a man that dreamt of being in a position you're in at the minute and wanting to go further. Where do you want the career of Patrick McGettigan to go? Because this is a tough environment. Let's be honest about it, Patrick. You have to work really, really hard. Where would you like to see yourself in 5 years' time?
Obviously, you want to be at the top level, as you know yourself. It's a very dangerous sport. Takes a lot of hard work and dedication, but hopefully I'm going the right way anyway. But you just want to ride as many winners as you can and compete every race as good as you can, and just take everything as best you could and learn from everything.
Yeah. What is it about Donegal and jockeys at the moment? Because a long time ago there was only one, and that was Martin Harley. Since then, Dylan Brown McMonagall, Oisin Orr, Luke McAteer, Conor Orr, Brandon Wulke, and now yourself. There's a handful of jockeys now, 6 jockeys, 6 or so jockeys from the county who are all competing, and all competing at a high level. Why do you think, Patrick, this has exploded all of a sudden here?
I'd say maybe the sport's just getting a bit more popular. Like, Donegal's a big footballing county, and horse racing wouldn't be as heard of as much in other counties like as in Kildare. But maybe it's just getting that bit more popular throughout the country.
Yeah. What sort of response do you get when you come back home and there's people talking to you and they know that you're doing well?
Yeah, it's good. Like, like all my mother's friends and my own friends and family, they all seem to enjoy it. So it's glad they get the same kick out of it as I do.
Well, listen, Patrick, many thanks for joining us. And certainly we will be keeping a very close eye on how Hesselbank is the name of the horse. We'll be competing in Sligo at the weekend. And we'll be keeping a very close eye on your career as well. You're doing a fantastic job, Patrick. And hopefully when we talk again soon, that one rate of yours continues to build. Thanks for joining us.
Hopefully, anyway. Thanks very much.
And all the rougher jockeys, who certainly has a very, very bright future, that is young Patrick McGinnigan. Okay, John Cronin's time as president of Athletics Ireland has come to an end following the conclusion of a second term in charge. The Downies native has been at the head of the organisation since 2021 and has overseen some of the most exciting times in the history of Irish athletics. Cronin has lived in Tullamore since 1983 and has had a long career in the sport after growing up competing in Donegal at underage level. The outgoing president spoke to Highlands' Mark Gallagher today, and he spoke fondly of his reign at the helm, which spanned two terms over the past 4 years.
Part of our governance, we're governed by terms. So I completed my term of two-year terms. So, and at that stage, having completed six terms on the board, according to our constitution, my time was up. But I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm sure throughout your time you had many objectives and targets you wanted to hit in your tenure. Did you manage to fulfil the targets you set out for yourself at the beginning?
Yeah, I believe so. I took over just as we were in 2021, just as we're coming out of the pandemic and the sport. We kept the sport alive. I was deputy president before that and through the 20s and 21s. Now we've built up again, and we have the highest membership ever, over 70,000, which is huge. The sport on an international front is probably at one of its highest levels ever. In the last 2 years, we achieved 29 international medals and huge success. We had great days in Rome last year, and we also had recently in Apeldoorn. And in Nanjing, our athletes are knocking it out of the park. So fantastic performances. Then in Paris last year, we had 2 fourth places, just fingertip stuff. So, and we're looking forward to LA 2028. A lot of other things behind the scenes. I led a governance review of the board and sub-board structures. And so we had a constitutional EGM last September and last Saturday in our Congress in Tullamore. We voted in those new structures. We're also are on the journey of a digitalization pathway where there's so many members, 70,000 members, and a huge organization. It's not possible to run it anymore using copybooks, so we have to use IT. And I also oversaw a couple of significant anniversaries. In 2022, we had the 100th anniversary of an Irish Athletic Federation, which was formed after independence in 1922. Last year, we had the 25th anniversary of Athletics Ireland, which was formed in 1999, which is a successor to the athletic federations that were in the previous 75 years. And then we had our 150th National Senior Championship, consecutive National Senior Championship, which is the longest running championship in the world, and we managed to keep that going behind closed doors during COVID for 148th, so it's very significant. And then we hosted the 2021 Euro Cross Country Championships in Dublin. And I think for their athletes at the top level, success breeds success, and we found now that we sold out our indoor championships in Dublin recently. And our juvenile championships, most recently as well, they were hanging from the rafters. So the sport's in a good way when I'm stepping down. So I'm delighted with that. Not all due to me, but due to the huge professional staff we have, and the hundreds and hundreds of volunteers who are out there working for us every day.
You touched on a few there. We've seen some great moments in Irish athletics in recent years. Is there one specific highlight, if I could put you on the spot, is there one highlight that sticks out for you when you think back to your reign as president? Was there one moment maybe at the Olympics or in Nanjing or at the recent Europeans that stood out for you?
marked several in Appledorn in the European Indoors. We had a magic 36 minutes where we had three medals. So that was huge. And Harris, very emotional to see two fourth places, and you know that's the top of the game. You know, the Olympics, and then in Rome, so special with Kira winning and the. And the mixed relay winning, you know, so many. I'm delighted that it's difficult to choose.
Yeah, well, all ears must end, and it's come to the end of your reign as president, John. Who's going to take over from your role now?
Breech Golden. She was my deputy president for the last 4 years. She's in Waterford. Huge background in the sport. International athlete. Multiple national champion, and held the record for the most juvenile medals ever won, and a big background in high performance and coaching. So we're in good hands with her. And just while I'm at that, there's at our Congress last weekend, we have a lot of people from Donegal that are going to contribute going forward for the next term. On the senior competition committee, we have Neil Martin, Finn Valley, and Carmen McGarvey from the Rosses. On the juvenile committee, Mark Connolly from Finn Valley stepping into the chair. That's going to be a huge role. Lorraine Doherty from the Rosses and Tom Thompson from Finn Valley will be on this committee. Coaching and development committee, we have Brian McGonigal from Tyrconnell. Provincial forum, we have Brendan McDade from Letterkenny AC. And Brendan, of course, is a lifelong friend. We started together in the early 70s as competitors, and we've worked side by side on various national committees, and I was pleased that he was on my board, as both was step off the board. On the team manager front, we've got Teresa McDade from Letterkenny, who's heading off to China there for the World Relays, and Neil Martin again from Finn Valley. And on our staff side, we've got Director of Competitions is Ger Stewart from Tyrconnell, who's doing a wonderful job. And I must say that as president, we're delighted weekend after weekend to see so many Donegal officials travelling to operate at national competitions around the country. That's given their own Ulster, Donegal and club commitments. And Donegal is a very strong county board. It's led by Chair Rosemary Dewhurst, Tyrconnell, and Secretary Lorraine Doherty. And Donegal is nine very strong and active clubs. So athletics is in a great place in Donegal.
Yeah, it's great to see you. Sorry.
Athletics Ireland is in a good place with those people contributing to the committees.
Yeah, it's great to see so many local people here from Donegal in the Northwest involved in athletics in Ireland at the highest level. As for yourself, John, you're originally a Downings native. What is next for yourself? You mentioned LA in 2028. Can we expect to see you still involved in the sport at some capacity?
Yeah, well, at the level of board, my term is up, so I won't have a formal role, but I'm sure it's a sport I took up in 1973 in Fulcarra Community School with Glenrhea Athletic Club. Great memories there. And of course, Glenrhea came from Cranford and was founded by Eamon Giles, who's still going strong. And so I will stay in the sport. I'm not quite sure what capacity yet, but I'll do what I'm asked as what has been my modus operandi all my career. And I'm lucky to have had great mentors from Donegal. Miles Gallagher was my first coach. He had a long career with Highland Sport, and he's continued to be a lifelong friend and mentor. And I got great grounding from the late Tommy McBride and John Friel. Both of them, along with Miles, were officers of Glenrhea Athletic Club. And we had a brilliant 50th anniversary reunion last year to launch the book. And later on, when I became official, I was under the wing of Paddy Marley from Milford, who competed for Cranford, Clonliffe in Ireland. And I would consider Paddy a friend and mentor. And when you speak of highlights, we have a lot of highlights on the international front, but a personal highlight from one of my personal highlights, a special day for me to be at the National Cross Country Championships in Rosapenna in November 22, where Eamon, Miles, Paddy and Brendan McDade were big players. And a big shout out to Cranford AC, the Casey family of the Rosapenna hotel, and the whole of the local community for staging probably one of the best, if not the best, cross country championships ever. Not being biased, but that's the feedback I got. So I'm not quite sure of the details, but I know I'll be involved in some capacity. I still have commitments at international level as well with European Athletics and World Athletics, and hopefully I'll be seen out those as well.
Great stuff, John. Well, thanks very much for joining us here on Highland, and best of luck with whatever you get involved in the future.
And just before I go, can I give a shout out to my sister Nora, who lives on the Lanty Drive in Downing, has always been a great supporter. And the local thing there.
Yep.
Thank you.
Beautiful part of the world.
And well done to Highland Sports, continuously promoting our wonderful sport. Thank you.
That's John Cronin, who was reflecting on his term as president of Athletics Ireland. Athletics-wise, here in the Northwest this weekend, no doubt the big event is the Northwest 10K. It's taking place on Bank Holiday Monday in Letterkenny. It's going to be a very important year because it looks like they are going to break the 1 million euro barrier of raising money for charities since its inception, way back. So fair play to the organising committee as they reach that mark of over 1 million euro. The event, once again, is going to pull a big crowd. There's an 11 o'clock start on Monday, and the organisers have been in contact with us just to remind those who want to do the 10K that if you register early and do it online, that is the simplest way to do it. Just register online, and I suppose it avoids some of the hassle later on if you are doing it in the tents when it comes to Sunday or Monday. But you will be able to register as well from 3 o'clock down at the community centre there in the Northwest 10K tent. But one of the highlights of the calendar, the 10K taking place this coming Bank Holiday Monday. Just some of the other sporting fixtures this weekend. The Killarney International Rally of the Lakes, round 4 of the Irish Tarmac Championship, is taking place Saturday and Sunday. Lots of Donegal competitors making the trip south. Heading the field will be Callum Devine and Noel O'Sullivan as they look to build, of course, on their Circuit of Ireland won in recent weeks, and also, of course, looking to build towards a tilt at defending their Donegal title. While in cricket in the Northwest Premier League this weekend on Saturday, in Section 1, Coleraine play Strabane. Eglinton take on Brady. Ardmore up against, Eglinton against Brigade, excuse me. Ardmore play Brady. Dunamana feature against New Buildings. While in Section 2, St Johnstone have a home tie against Burndennet. Glendermot play Kelly Clooney, and Fox Lodge will take on Bonds Glen. And that is it from the Score programme for tonight. Don't forget, if you missed any of the show, you will be able to recap in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. So until the next time, from me, Oisin Kelly, have a very good evening.